I want to start with a question. How many of you have ever been caught in a storm? You've been caught in a storm? A lot of you have been caught in a storm. Well, I want to tell you a story. Back several years ago, our family, my wife Linda and our four boys, took a vacation up to Canada. And we drove up to Niagara Falls, and then we went about 150, I think it's about 150 miles north of the falls to a lake called Lake Powassan. And we had rented a cabin there on the lake, and we went up, and we would go out each day. And most of the time, Linda would come out with us, but not always. But I would take the four boys and Linda, and we'd go out on the lake, and we'd go fishing. And it was a great, it was just a great time to get away, just a beautiful place. And we found the perfect spot to fish. Called it the spot. And you had to go all the way, pretty much across the lake. There was a little island there in the lake, but on the far side of the lake. And we went around the back side of that island. And again, we found this perfect spot. Every time you cast in your, and Ernie appreciates this, every time you cast in, you got a bite. I mean, within seconds. And so one day, we started out, and we went all the way across the lake, around the back of the island, got to the spot, and we started to fish. Well, I didn't actually fish. Linda didn't fish. And I didn't actually fish because they were catching so many fish, I had to take the fish off the hooks and bait the hook, and then they'd throw it in, and I'd have another one, and that was my job. But Ben, we're having a great time, because every time you cast, you got a bite or a fish. In fact, my son Joshua threw in his hook. He was a little impatient. I didn't have time to put on a worm or anything. He just threw it in and he caught a fish on a hook. I mean, that's the kind of fishing I like, Ernie. That's the kind of fishing I like. So we're fishing and we're just having a great time. And my wife said, Les, I hate to say anything, but you probably didn't notice, but it's kind of getting cloudy and it looks like it's going to rain. I said, oh, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. We're having a great time here. So we kept on fishing, and she kept on interrupting and saying, Les, it's really getting kind of dark here. And this went on. She just kept on being a pest and went on and on. And finally said, okay, guys, pack it up. Let's pack it in. And Mom said it's going to rain. We got to go, oh, you know how they do, oh, that's not what I did. The kids did it too. And we kind of got our fishing rods and everything. And so we come around the island. And just as we come around the island, the wind just started whipping up. And the waves, I mean, it was like this, you know, and up and down. And I thought, oh my, you know. And then we got about 200 yards away from that island, and lightning and thunder. And I'll tell you what, that's when I got a little concerned. And that's when I was back in the back on the motor, you know, and Linda was in the front, and she turned around and looked at me. And she said, I told you we should have gone in. I mean, she wasn't nice. And if looks could have killed, I wouldn't be here this morning. And I'm going to tell you, I know Linda was afraid, but I got afraid. When that lightning, here we are in the middle of the lake, and there's lightning coming down, and I'm thinking, are we going to make it back? And the waves, I mean it, you're trying to, with the motor and everything, if you've ever been out in a storm, and when you're going down like this, you're not going very far. And I'm thinking, Lord, get us back. Well, I want to ease your mind. We didn't die that day. But I thought we were going to die. We were caught in a storm, out in the lake. Well, today in our scripture, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 through 27, we find some men, the disciples, who got caught out in a storm. And you remember we're in this section, chapter 8 and chapter 9 of the book of Matthew, that deal really with the power and the compassion of the king. the power and compassion of Jesus Christ. And in this section, we have 10 miracles that Jesus performs. And you see in these miracles his power and his compassion. And here, his miracle that he does deals with the miracle of having the power over nature. The power over nature. Let me read these verses, beginning in verse 23 of Matthew 8. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" Now, I want to look at this section today, and I'm going to look at it in a very practical way. Kind of in more application, we'll look at what happened, but how this applies to our life and navigating the storms of life. And to navigate the storms in life, we've got to know four things. And I see these in the text, and I want to share that. What do we have to know to navigate the storms of life? Number one, we must know that storms are a normal part of life. Storms are a normal part of life. We all encounter storms in life. Amen? Amen. Every one of us are going to go through storms. You know, the disciples get in a boat with Jesus. They're going to cross the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles long. At points, it's about 8 miles wide. I can remember being out in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And if you're out there, you can see that around the Sea of Galilee, there are mountains that surround that sea. And it's very common. Storms are very common on the Sea of Galilee because the cold air comes down over the mountain, meets up with this warm air coming up from the Sea of Galilee, and it causes turbulence. And the Sea of Galilee is known for violent storms. Violent storms. And these violent storms can erupt without much warning. Now, in my episode up on Lake Powassan, there was some warning, and I didn't take the warning. But on the Sea of Galilee, these storms can hit right now. Now, I think about this. You know, there are many kinds of physical storms, aren't there? There are snowstorms. There are electrical storms. There's sandstorms. There's ice storms. There's all kinds. We've heard recently of tornadoes out in Oklahoma. We were in England when that happened, but I think it was in Oklahoma, wasn't it, that those tornadoes hit? And hurricanes. There's all kinds of physical storms in life. And likewise, there's all kinds of different storms that can hit our personal lives. For instance, there are accident storms. There are sicknesses. There are depression. A child can get hurt. There's the death of a loved one. We heard about that this morning, didn't we? Folks, there are relational storms. There's marital storms. There's financial storms. There's occupational storms. There's all kinds, and you could go on and on and on. Just like there's all kinds of physical storms, there's all kinds of storms that can hit our personal life. And just as the storm that hit that boat 2,000 years ago, that came up suddenly, unexpectedly, many storms in our lives are like that. 1 minute, the sun is shining. The next minute, the thunder's crashing and the lightning's flashing around us, and the sea and the wind are going crazy about us. The phone rings, and just in seconds, your life has changed. You go to the doctor for a routine check, and he comes into the office after doing some examination, and his face tells the story. He doesn't even have to say it. You're in a storm. One day you go to work, and the boss calls you into his office, and you're in a storm. Storms in our life are like that. They can arise suddenly, violently, without warning, just like the storm that hit the disciples on the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. And folks, we all encounter them. It's a part of living in this life. You remember what Jesus said? He said, in this world ye have tribulation. He could have said, in this world you're going to have storms. Every one of us are going to go through storms. It's a normal part of life. We encounter storms even when we follow Jesus. Now, I say that, that's important. Because sometimes we experience problems and storms, and people might assume, or we might assume, well, I must not be following the Lord. There must be some sin in my life, or I must be out of God's will. I'm in a storm. Well, let me say something. When we sin, when we get out of the will of God, to be sure, that can cause problems. Amen? Amen. We can create our own storms. I thought about that, and it came to mind, Jonah. You remember Jonah? God told him, I got a ministry for you over here. And Jonah said, I don't want to do that ministry. I think I'm going to run away from God. Bad thing to do. You know, you can't run fast enough. You can't hide from God. You can't. But he's going to go away from God. And what happened? He got in a storm. And it was very uncomfortable. He got down in the mouth. Literally, he got down in the mouth. He got in a storm, and the storm was of his own making because he was out of the will of God. And I'll tell you what, when you get out of the will of God or into sin, it can bring storms in your life. It can bring storms into your family. It can bring storms into the church of Jesus Christ when we get out of the will of God and into sin. That is true. But having said that, not all storms that we go through in this life are caused by sin. Sometimes we can be following God, following Jesus, right in the middle of his will, and a storm hits. You see, you know what the text says? It says that Jesus commanded his disciples, let's go to the other side. Jesus got into the boat. And what did the disciples do? They followed Jesus. And Jesus led them right into a storm. Right into a storm. They were not out of the will of God. They were in the will of God. And now don't think if you follow Jesus, it's going to be smooth sea. Because God's will is not always a smooth sea. Now there's a reason for that, and we'll get into that. But storms are a normal part of life. We shouldn't think, what's happening here? We all go through them. You might go through a certain type of storm, and I go through another type of storm, but we all go through storms. And I'll tell you what, today, right here in this room, there are people, maybe many of us, that are going through storms in life. Now, you might be on a smooth sea right now, but I'll tell you what, you'll go through storms. If you're not now, you will go through them. They're a normal part of life, and we shouldn't be surprised when storms come. We need to know that. A second thing we need to know is that we must know that Jesus does care when we're going through the storm. Where was Jesus when the storm hit? What was he doing? Well, he was in the stern of the boat Mark 4 says. And what was he doing?
Sleeping.
He was sleeping. And the disciples approach him, and one of the disciples yells out, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." Matthew 8. Another one of the disciples yelled out, Master, we're perishing. Luke chapter 8. But you know what another disciple said? One of the disciples, and I think all of them felt this, he said, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care? We're perishing." I mean, he's asleep. And actually, the disciples face three problems out on that sea: a seismic storm, a sinking ship, and a sleeping Savior. Three problems. Now, have you ever gone through a storm and it felt like God was sleeping? God was sleeping. "Don't you care, Lord?" They said, don't you care? We're perishing." Have you ever said something like that? Have you ever said, "Lord Jesus, don't you care? My child's sick. Lord Jesus, don't you care? My marriage is falling apart. Lord Jesus, don't you care that my friends have deserted me? Lord Jesus, don't you care? I don't have any money. Lord Jesus, don't you care that I feel so alone? Lord Jesus, don't you care? I'm at the end of my rope. I feel like I have to give up. Lord Jesus, don't you care that I lost my spouse? Lord Jesus, don't you care? My job, Lord, I need to provide for my family. I lost my job. Lord, don't you care? Are you asleep?" That's how the disciples felt. And I think, and let's be honest, you know, let's be transparent. Don't we sometimes get to that point where we're praying, we're crying out to God, and it's like, "Don't you care, God?" Well, I want to say something here. We do feel that way sometimes, but Jesus does care. He always cares for his kids. And when we're in those storms, and when it seems like he's asleep, he does care for you. He does care.
Yes, he does.
The Bible says, "Cast all your cares on me because I care for you." That's God. I care for you, and he does. You know, I think of that old hymn, and I love this hymn because it gets right down to the heart of things. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with some nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades and the deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches until it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And then the response of faith: yes, he cares.
Amen.
I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And when the days are weary and the long night's dreary, I know. Not I hope, not I think, not I guess. I know my Savior cares. And I want to tell you right now, you going through a storm, Jesus cares. He's there. He loves you. And he cares about what's going on in your life. Number three, if we're going to get through the storms of life, we first of all have to know that that's a regular part of life. We have to know that in the storm that our Savior cares for us. And number three, we need to know that there is no storm too big for Jesus to handle. Amen. No storm too big for him to handle. This was a huge storm. The disciples were afraid. I'll tell you, I was afraid out on Lake Powassan. When the lightning started coming down, that's when my heart kind of sank. And I thought, oh, Jesus, I should have listened to my wife. You know, he's trying to teach me that for 40 years now. And I listen a little bit more now. But, you know, I got afraid. And they were afraid. And the ship was being tossed, just like our ship, like a cork, up and down on those waves. And the men wake Jesus up and say, save us, Lord, we're perishing. And in verse 26, look at verse 26, he rebuked, gentle rebuke. But he says, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? And you know, I think if I was there, I'd have been tempted to talk back to the Lord and say, why am I afraid? Look around. I mean, you know, this was a big storm. In fact, I read one commentator, and he some think that this is a storm of satanic origin. Listen to what one commentator says. Most Bible scholars believe this storm in Matthew 8 was devil driven, because in verse 26 it says that Jesus rebuked the storm. And Jesus is often said to have rebuked demons. In Luke 8, the same storm is written about, and Jesus said, be still. In the Greek language, it's the word for muzzling a dog. It is possible that this storm was another attempt of Satan to destroy Jesus. Folks, this was just no ordinary, just little storm. This was a huge storm. The waves were covering the ship. The boat was filling up. The water was filling up in the boat, and they were going down. And this was the perfect storm. Maybe satanic in origin. And the disciples, some of them were even fishermen who were used to being out on the Lake of Sea of Galilee and used to storms. They were afraid. They were terrified. They were terrified. But Jesus saw something. Jesus saw that their fear was not as much due to the circumstances as it was to their lack of faith. Now again, another author that I read said this, and I think this is significant. He said that fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Faith is looking at your circumstances through God. Yes. Let me say that again. Fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Faith is looking at your circumstances through God. And when we look at our circumstances through God, we have our eyes on the Lord, and we look at our circumstances through God, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. They were focusing on the storm, on the wind and waves and their circumstances, and they were afraid. But after rebuking the disciples, Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves. Calm! Eugene Peterson, in the Message version of Scripture, put it this way. Awake now, Jesus told the wind to pipe down and said to the sea, quiet, settle down. And the wind ran out of breath and the sea became smooth as glass. Or I like how Tony Evans, you're familiar with Tony Evans, a black pastor down in Texas, how he put it. He said, Jesus stood up and said, hush! And the wind looked over at the waves and said, "Did you hear that?" Man, you talk about power. I'll tell you what, there's no storm that Jesus can't handle. This was a monster storm. This was maybe a satanic storm. And Jesus stood up, said, "Peace, be still. Get muzzled, you dog." And there was calm, glass. And that tells me, folks, if he can do that with nature, there is no problem that I face or you face, no situation, no circumstance that we face in life that's too big, too difficult, too severe for Jesus to handle. All he needs to do is rise up and say, "Peace, be still." Yes. Well, if that's so, why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't he do that with all my storms, Pastor? If all he had to do, "Peace, be still," and it's over. Why doesn't he do that? Well, praise God, sometimes he does. Amen. Karen, you shared, we prayed last Wednesday night for this young lady who was in a coma, and praise God, God heard our prayer, and the storm has passed. She's released from the hospital. Sometimes God does that. Sometimes God speaks to the storm and says, "Be still." And sometimes in his sovereignty, he doesn't. Sometimes in his sovereignty, he doesn't speak to the storm. He speaks to us and says, "Be still. And know that I am God." Sometimes he doesn't calm the storm. Sometimes he calms us and gives us, and many of us have experienced this, the peace that passes understanding right in the midst of the storm. That's what he does. He's sovereign. He's all powerful. There's no problem too difficult for him to handle and to take care of and take out of our life. He's all powerful to empower us to go through a storm and to be able to handle that storm. Again, some of you and some of us, I'm going to include myself and my family, we're going through storms right now. And we need that all-powerful Savior to give us the grace sufficient and the strength. Or he can take away that. I'm glad when he takes away those storms. But I'll tell you, to experience his power and peace in us, "Be still. Know that I am God." No problem we face too big for Jesus to handle and to help us to handle. But that leads to number four and last point. To navigate the storms of life, we must know that storms we encounter, listen to this, have a divine purpose. Jesus, folks, listen to this, led the disciples into this storm. Now, why would he do that? I mean, why does he allow storms in my life or in your life? Why does he let you go through and me go through these storms? There is a purpose, or maybe purposes, for allowing us to go through storms. Let me suggest four purposes of storms. Number one, he allows storms to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, to help us to trust in him. You see, Jesus addressed the disciples. He said, "Why are you afraid, you men of what? Little faith." Now, they had faith, but their faith was small. And Jesus wanted to grow their faith. He wanted to grow their faith. And you know, the only way he grows our faith is by letting us go into storms and trials and problems. I wish it could grow other ways, but it doesn't. It grows when we get into storms. I'll never forget a sign that Linda and I saw when we lived up in Michigan. It was in Livonia, Michigan. It was on a restaurant, and outside the restaurant, I've remembered this for nearly 40 years now. The sign read, "A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner." Boy, when I read that, it spoke to my heart. I thought, wow. A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner. If the seas were smooth all the time, you would never have to grow. You know what? We could handle life. We could handle it. I can handle it, right, Aaron? I can handle it. But when the storm comes, guess what we find out? We can't handle it. We need Jesus. And he grows our faith. Because a faith untested is a faith unsure. It's like a muscle. You know, it's been like 6 weeks now since I've gone down to the natatorium and done a little exercise. And, you know, you don't exercise, you atrophy. Amen. And you know what? It's like that with faith. If faith is not exercised, it atrophies. And we exercise faith in the storms of life. So one reason he allows, one purpose of storms is to grow our faith. A second purpose of storms, he allows storms to make us more compassionate. More compassionate. Again, if we never encountered storms, we would not be able to empathize with others who are going through storms. God allows storms in our lives to prepare us to minister to others that are going through storms, and a lot of times similar storms. It was A.W. Tozer that said, "I have never encountered a river of difficulty, or gone through a river of difficulty in life, that when I was getting out on the other shore, that I didn't encounter some pilgrim entering in from the other side that I could minister to." You see, God wants to take our storms, and as we respond properly in faith, listen, turn them into ministries. Turn them into ministries. Because as God ministers to us in that storm, it makes us compassionate. We begin to understand, it prepares us to minister because we know what it is to go through something like that. And we can reach out and minister to others. You know, I know what it is. I can be very compassionate to somebody that loses their job. I know what it is to be called into the boss's office up at Ford Motor Company up in Livonia, Michigan, and get what we used to call pink slip and be laid off. I know what it is to lose a job in a church and to have no source of income. I can be very compassionate to someone like that. You know, I can be somewhat compassionate to people who lose loved ones. Because I lost my brother in 88, I lost my dad in 2001, I lost my sister in 2004, and I lost my mother in 2005. I'm the only one in our family left. I know what that feels like. So when someone goes through that, I can pray for them. I can put my arm around them and say, "You know what, brother, I'm with you. Sister, I'm with you." You see, all these storms prepare us to minister to others. They make us more compassionate. A third purpose of storms. He allows storms to teach us more about himself, more about God. You and I can learn a lot about God in the storms of life. In the storm in Matthew 8, what do we learn about Jesus? When the storm hit, he's asleep in the ship. Why is he asleep? In fact, this, by the way, this is the only place in the Bible that talks about Jesus sleeping. But why was he sleeping? I mean, he's sleeping during a violent storm. I'll tell you why he's sleeping. He was exhausted from ministry. He gave out so much and was giving and giving and giving. He was exhausted. You know what that tells us about Jesus? He was one of us. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He was really one of us. He was a man. He was human. But then this man stands up and says, "Peace, be still." And the wind and the waves obey him. And the disciples are now more afraid of him than they were afraid of the storm. They're amazed. What kind of man is this? Who even, the wind and the waves obey him. You know what it tells us? He's God. Amen. He's deity. He is omnipotent. And even though it seemed like he was asleep and he was not in control, he's sovereign. He's in control even when he was sleeping. Amen. You know what it tells us? It tells us that in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He's the God-man. And you see, the disciples in the storm start to get a glimpse, start to maybe a little bit understand who he is. And folks, when we're going through the storms, let me encourage you, look for the Savior. He is trying to reveal himself to you. He is trying to teach you something perhaps you don't know. We know we're on the fringe of knowledge when it comes to God. In fact, through all eternity, I believe we're going to be learning new attributes and that we can praise God for. But through these trials, through these tribulations, through these storms, God is uncovering himself. And I'm going to share with you. And I think you probably would say amen to this, but I'll tell you, in my life, it was when I was going through the really hard times that I got to know God better. Amen. That's when I really saw who he was, when I was right in the middle of the storm. Now, let me say this. Not always when I was in the storm did I recognize that. But looking back, I see it more clearly. So in the storm, he wants to grow our faith. He wants to make us more compassionate. He wants to show us more about himself. And number four, through storms, he allows storms to get our attention and to drive us to Jesus. Drive us to Jesus. Again, when the storm hits, where do they go? Now, I it doesn't say this in the text, but I think probably when the storm came upon them, they thought, we probably can handle this. Let's row a little bit faster. I don't know if they put the sail up or put it down. I think you put it down in a storm. Get the sail down and they probably tried to do it themselves. But I'll tell you what, as it got along and the boat started filling up and everything, they thought, we're in trouble. And where did they go? They went to Jesus. And again, isn't that like us? You know, a storm hits, and again, we need to do what we need to do. I mean, we have a responsibility too. But you know what? When a storm hits and we get to the end of ourselves and we think, man, I can't do anymore. I'm at the end of my hoarded resources, and I don't have anything else to give. What do? Cry out to Jesus. Lord, and we don't even cry out. We don't even use King James English. Thou art the Holy One. We just say, Jesus, save me. At least I do. And at least they did. They were driven to Jesus. I remember somebody telling me, and I can't remember who it was, but many years ago they said something like this. They said, if we went through a 6-month period without any storms, without any problems, without any trials, we'd probably be far away from God. Because we kind of get the thought in our minds, I can handle this. I can do this. But God allows And we're like that as people too. Over in England, thought about this morning, over in England and Scotland and Ireland, we saw thousands of sheep. I mean, they have sheep all over the place over there. And Linda and I noticed as I was driving by that almost the sheep have their head down all the time. They don't look up. They just have their head down all the time. And you know, sheep are like that. And they can kind of be eating and they're wandering away and all of a sudden they look up, where'd everybody go? You know, and we kind of get our eyes sometimes on this world. And not that we choose, I want to get away from God. No, we just wander away. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you know what? Sometimes God has to get my attention. And he sends a storm. And he gets my attention. And I'm driven to Jesus. And sometimes that's what God is doing with storms. He's driving us to Christ. And we need him. And that storm helps us to remember that we need Christ and we're driven to Jesus. Now I say that for all of us who know the Lord. And again, I don't know everyone here. And I don't know even those that I do know. I can't see a heart. But can I say this? I believe he even does this with non-Christians. People who do not know the Lord, because he loves them. And he can bring a storm into a non-believer's life to get their attention and to drive them to himself to be saved. You know, I look back on my life before I was a Christian and God was there. I mean, not in my heart, but he was working. He was working because he loved me to bring me to Christ. And many times he'll bring into a non-Christian's life a storm. And they find out, you know, I can't handle this. And it can make you bitter or it can make you better. You can turn and shake your fist at God, or you can say, you know, Lord, I need you. And he brings people to himself through the storms of life. So the question is this, that I leave us with today. Is Jesus in your boat? No. Better question. Are you in Jesus' boat? Because if you're in his boat, I'll tell you what, he'll get you through. He'll help you navigate those storms of life. If you're not in his boat, what you need to do is you need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to get in, you need to follow him. You need to get in his boat. By faith, believe he died for you, as Jackson told us, and rose again, and you ask him into your heart, and you get in his boat. Because he's the key to navigating the storms of life. Amen? Lord, we just bow before you and thank you. Lord, again, many of us right now are going through some stormy waters. But we're thankful, God. We know they're a normal part of life. Living in a fallen world, we're going to have some tribulations. We're going to have problems. We're going to have storms. But Lord, you are the master of the sea. Billows, your will obey. And God, we know, Lord, that you care. I want to pray for those in this congregation that are going through storms. Lord, would you minister to them right now? Just tell them, I care. I care. I'm going to get you through. Comfort their heart, Lord. Minister to them right now, God. Holy Spirit, comfort your people. Draw near to them, Lord. They're drawing near to you right now. Lord, I'm thankful that there's no storm too big for you to handle. And we come to you. We can't handle them, Lord, but you can. So we put our trust in you, and we're not going to be afraid because you're going to help us. Grow our faith. Make us more compassionate. Help us to keep our eyes open in the storm to see you. And Lord, drive us to you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.